My name is Joel. I am one of the teaching pastors at Mosaic, and it's good to be with you guys tonight. Tonight we're gonna jump into a journey together, and it's gonna be a ton of fun. I am very excited for what God has in store. All weekend long at Mosaic, we've just been experiencing God together, and tonight here at Mosaic Walt Disney World, we're gonna do it. And it's going to be fun. So check this out. Over the last few months here at Mosaic, we've been going through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is really a book that records the earliest days of the Christian church. And unlike history, it's super exciting. It's really awesome. How many of you guys are history buffs and you're like offended right now? Okay, cool. This is the right crowd. It's way awesome, the book of Acts. It's exciting. There are amazing things that are happening. God is doing incredible things in the lives and through the lives of the people in the early church. And kind of here's what's been happening. Jesus came to the earth. He lived just an incredibly unique life. Started out with a virgin birth. It's pretty unique. And from there, he lived a perfect life. The Bible records just this incredible life of teaching and miracles and just amazing things that Jesus is doing. And Jesus had some followers, some people that he picked to be his disciples, his followers, his posse. And I'm way too suburban to be using the word posse, but it's cool. So Jesus is rolling with these guys named, disciples. And man, these guys were not the cream of the crop. They were not the sharpest knives in the drawer, not, you know, the top of their class. They are people with whom I can identify well. And the disciples really depended on Jesus kind of for everything. He was the source of their truth. He was the source of their teaching. He was the source of their training. And he was the one that would always know the answer and be able to figure things out. At one point in life, in the life of Jesus, and in the ministry of Jesus, they were on a boat and things got really crazy. And they thought they were going to die. And Jesus is snoozing, just sleeping. And they're like, what are you doing, Jesus? We're about to die. I mean, can you imagine you're on a boat and, you know, waves are crashing. It's crazy. This is not like a cruise ship. This is like a ghetto, you know, old school boat. And Jesus is asleep. They're like, Jesus, wake up. We are going to die. And Jesus kind of shakes his head and calms the storm. They're like, whew, you know. So at the end of Jesus' life, he dies a really horrible death on the cross. And of course, his followers are like, excuse me? I don't think this was part of the plan, Jesus. We are not going to be able to do this without you. But before Jesus goes to the cross and dies, he says something very interesting to the disciples. He says, it is better for you that I go. Because if I go, I will send to you a helper. I will send to you someone who will be with you always. I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. And the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that he is not confined to a human body. See, Jesus became a human, and so he could only be in one place at one time. He was not omnipresent while he was here on the earth. And so the Holy Spirit coming to us, living in us, was better for us. And as Jesus went to the cross and died and resurrected from the dead, he hands the disciples this mission. It's a really big mission. It's a really big deal. He says to the disciples, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, all the way to the ends of the earth, because the mission of God is this. I desire my people, my creation, my children, human beings to know me all over the world, that every tribe and tongue and nation would come to know me as their God, as their Savior. So I want you to go, and I want you to make disciples. I want you to make followers out of people from every nation. So, no big deal. See you later. The disciples are like, what? I already peed my pants, and you haven't even gone yet. You know, it's like, this is a big deal, Jesus. We're not going to be able to do this without you. But Jesus promises that he is going to send the Holy Spirit. And so he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. Don't try to go do this mission on your own. Wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Wait until you receive the helper that I'm promising you, because you're not going to be able to do this on your own. And so the disciples wait in Jerusalem, and days later, the Holy Spirit comes, and man, it's amazing. It's amazing. Miracles begin to happen. People are coming to Christ left and right. And as the story continues to unfold, the disciples begin to go out and fulfill the mission that God had called them to fulfill, to bring the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And here we are 2,000 years later. We're sitting in a hotel near Disney World. And we have the same mission that the disciples had. It's a pretty crazy thought. And just like the disciples, Jesus has not left us alone. It's a clear teaching of God's word that when we come to Christ, when we put our faith and belief and hope in Jesus, that he is who he said he is, and he has done what he has said he has done, that he is our Savior, that he forgives us for all of the things that we've done that we shouldn't have done. The Bible gives us this clear picture that the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can continue the mission that God has placed us on. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. See, wherever it is we go, as followers of Jesus, we have an opportunity to help people come to know him. It's awesome. And it's kind of scary. But Jesus promised that we wouldn't be alone, and he's given us his Spirit. Over the last few months, as we've traveled through the book of Acts, we've kind of been able to see this mission unfolding. And we've seen it unfolding also here in our community. A few weeks ago, we had people baptized and come into the family of God. Whoa, how cool is that? And we're seeing more and more of us, Walt Disney World cast members and friends and family members coming to Christ, coming into this community, and it's been an awesome thing. And something that we've kind of discovered as we've been walking through the book of Acts is that they would go out on mission, and then it would get really hard. People would not appreciate the mission of God. People would not be accepting that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there would be hardship and even persecution in the lives of the disciples in the book of Acts. And as this persecution would happen, they would come back together into the community of God to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and to see this mission continue to unfold despite the hardship. And as we've seen the book of Acts unfold, we recognize that there's something that we need in order to sustain a missional life. Years and years ago in church history, they would make these things called monasteries. And monks would be in these monasteries. They would live there. And in these monasteries, they would spend hours on end in prayer. They would spend hours on end taking the words of Scripture, and they would copy them down and cherish them carefully. They would spend hours on end in this life of a monastery, this monastic life. And in this monastic life, they would focus their attention for hours and hours and hours on God. And as time went by, they began to realize that because these monasteries had very high walls and they were kind of secluded from the village or the city that they were in, that people weren't able to make the connection between who they were and the mission of God. And so they began to take the walls down. They wanted people to be able to see into the monastery, to be able to get a glimpse and a taste of what their lives were like as they were fellowshipping with God. Because you see, the life that God has called us to is not a life of seclusion, but a life of mission. Yet it is so important for us to actually continue to be connected with God in order to be empowered to live this mission out. So we've seen in the book of Acts this cycle of mission where they would go out and it would get hard, and then they would come back in and they would experience this kind of monastic life where there was a connection with God, connection with his word, a connection within the community, and that would fuel them for mission. Monastic life is the fuel that fuels the fire of mission. Imagine you are getting ready to take a trip, and this trip was a pretty far journey, maybe 100 miles, and you had to drive it, and you wake up one morning, and you're kind of in a rush, and you got to go, and it's an important trip, but you got to go, so you get in the car, and you turn the car on, and you realize the tank is low. It's on empty. And imagine saying to yourself, man, you know, I know my tank is on empty, but I really just don't have time to stop for gas to take this 100-mile journey, so I'm just going to go. Can you imagine how hard it would be to make it 100 miles pushing your car? Really hard, right? And here's the thing. We live this life as Christians, and God has handed us this incredibly huge mission. And the world that we live in is a very busy, demanding world, right? And the world we live in really doesn't call us to go spend time with Jesus, right? And the world we live in calls us to maybe everything but that. You know, you got to get on the Twitters and the YouTubes and the MySpaces if you're creepy. Only creepy people have MySpace. But you got to get on all the social media. You got to know what's going on in our culture. You got to watch this new release. Iron Man 3 just came out. I mean, good Lord, it's summer blockbuster time. Superman, what? I am so excited for that movie. Oh my gosh. But the world that we live in, it calls us to live a life that's anything but monastic. And yet we sense that God has given us this mission to live Jesus to the world. And it's this journey we've got to take. And it's this thing that we feel like, man, we really want to do. But stopping for gas just seems like such a waste of time. Yet we have no hope of making the journey unless we get fuel. And that is what the monastic life is all about. Monastic life is fuel for the fire of mission. It's when we take time to engage with the Spirit of God. It's when we take time to engage in the Word of God. And it's when we take time to engage with the community of God. That is the monastic life. That is the fuel that will be fuel for the fire of mission. And so tonight, we're going to do something just a little bit different here at Mosaic, and it's going to be fun. We're going to take some time together because we all sense the call of the missional life. I know it. I see it. I've seen it working out within this community. But if we don't get a taste of the monastic, if we don't see how important it is for us to gain fuel, then at some point the fire will burn out. At some point we'll get tired of pushing the car. But God has called us to something so much greater and so much more sustainable than that. So tonight, we're going to engage together in the monastic life. So buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be a little bit of a different night. It'll be a little interactive. And, you know, wherever you're at, kind of on your journey with God, we just want you to know that here at Mosaic, this is a safe place. This is not somewhere where you have to be, you know, hyper-spiritual, or you have to have like a Bible degree or something to be a part of this community. Maybe you don't really even believe in God. That's okay. We want you to be here and just relax. Just soak it in. And wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we want to invite you in to maybe just go a little deeper than you've gone before. So tonight, we're going to engage first with the Spirit of God. The Bible says that where two or more gather in his name, he is in the midst of us. And so we believe that God is here tonight in this place. And so we're going to spend a few more minutes just worshiping him, engaging with him, taking some time to recognize who he is. And as we spend time engaging with the Spirit of God, allow this taste of the monastic life to begin to put fuel on your fire tonight. We're going to have a great time together. As we jump in, I just have a quote that I want to read to you. It's by a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. He was a pastor in the early to mid 1900s. And he wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. I highly recommend it. It's a great book. It's kind of wordy. It's a little bit older English. But it's so profound. In the first chapter of The Pursuit of God, creatively entitled The Pursuit of God, he ends the chapter with this prayer. And I want to share this with you. And as you hear the words of this prayer, I just want to encourage you, maybe make it your prayer tonight to God. And ask him to give you a hunger and a thirst for himself. If you're like me and you're honest, maybe you're not super hungry for God right now. Maybe you're not really thirsty for God right now. Maybe it's because you've never really tasted. The Bible says that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. But the interesting thing about tasting and appetite is that you can't really crave, you can't be hungry for something you've never had before. I mean, if you've never eaten sushi, you're not going to be like, man, I really could go for some sushi right now. It's just not how it works. So maybe you're here and you've just never really tasted God. Tonight, we want to encourage you, just try to taste and see that God is good. Maybe we're not hungry for God because perhaps we've tasted him before. But the world has offered us just so many other options. And we filled our bellies full of other things. Things that are, they're not as good, but they're available. They're accessible. They're easy. C.S. Lewis says it this way, we tend to be content eating mud pies when God has prepared a banquet table for us. Tonight, our heart is just to set the table. The food of God, it's rich. David says in Psalm that God is the richest of fare. So tonight, let's jump in. So this prayer is a prayer that basically says, God, we want you. We need to need you. We want to taste you. So I'm going to read this. Make it your prayer tonight. And let's jump in together and taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, "Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness. And it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long." God, we come before you tonight and we just say that we want to want you. God, wherever it is that we are in the journey, God, I just pray that you would just give us a taste of yourself tonight. we would begin to just develop this insatiable craving for you. That as we engage with you, Holy Spirit, as we worship you, the triune God, that you would just satisfy us. And that we would begin to long for you like never before. We worship you tonight. Let's stand together and worship God.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend and that you were my desire. Nothing else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. And help me find a way. And bring me back to you.
Also writes that God is above all things, beneath all things, outside all things, and inside all things. God is above, but he is not pushed up. He's beneath all things, but he's not pressed down. God is outside all things, but he's not excluded. He is inside, but not confined. God is above all things, embracing. Actually, he is presiding. I am so sorry. God is above all things. He's presiding. He is beneath all things, sustaining. Outside all things, embracing. And inside all things, filling. That is the imminence of God. God is near. He is near to us. More near than we could ever imagine. The Bible says that in him, in Christ, everything is held together. Tonight, God is near to us. Continue to worship him and embrace his nearness tonight.
And draw me close to you. And never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend and you desire, and that no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, and to help me find a way, and bring me back to you. Oh Lord, you're all I want, and you're all I ever needed, and you're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want, God. You're all I want. Lord, Lord, Lord. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Help me know you are near. Help me, Lord. Help me know you are near.
King David in the book of Psalm wrote these incredible words. Tonight, we have the opportunity to engage with the Holy Spirit of God. The God of the universe wants to spend time with us. And David said this. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The Spirit of God is not far off. It's not like we have to travel through a magical wardrobe to find him. He's here. He's with us. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, it's better for you that I go. It's because he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with all Christians in all places for all time. Even in the Holiday Inn in Orlando, Florida. God is here. God is here. The other day, I was in the airport, and I see this guy. He's got big old aviator glasses and a red bandana, real long hair, and a huge beard. Any Duck Dynasty fans in the house? So I think to myself, that guy is a Duck Dynasty wannabe if I have ever seen one. Then I saw his wife, and I was like, that's Willie from Duck Dynasty. And so I'm there and I'm looking at him, I'm like, should I go talk to him?
Yes.
I'm so nervous, right? And, you know, of course I didn't. That would be a bad idea. Because I didn't want to bother the guy. But I thought to myself, man, wouldn't it be so cool? Wouldn't it be so cool to be able to hang out with that guy for a day? Just pick his brain a little bit, ask him some questions. It'd be awesome, right? But you guys, the God of the universe, the one who made everything. He made the stars. He made the sun. He made the sky. He made it all. And he wants to be with us. So we're going to continue to worship God tonight and just know that he's here. I mean, he's God and he's here and he's with us. And he wants to spend time with us. with us. I mean, Willie Robertson, cool dude. I'm sure it'd be so fun to hang out with him for a day. Man, he has nothing on the God of the universe. And we have him. In fact, we can't escape him. He's with us. He loves us, and he loves spending time with us. So let's continue to spend time with God tonight.
Oh.
Jesus reigns in this place, in showers of mercy and grace, falling on every face, there is freedom. Oh, there is freedom. Oh, there is freedom. There is freedom. In you, there is freedom.
You guys can grab a seat. You know, one of the incredible things that God has given us to continue to build us up, to encourage us, to give fuel for the fire of mission is this beautiful gift, the Bible, His word. We believe that this collection of books written over multiple centuries in different geographical locations from authors who did not know one another. We believe that the Holy Spirit of God moved men to write the scriptures. And we believe that the word of God is true for our lives, for all time, for every culture. And a lot of times we look at this thing and we think it's like a big list of rules, list of do's and don'ts. And there's some of that there, and everything that's there is for our freedom. It's for our good. And there's so much in here that helps us to understand who God is. So important. And it helps us to understand who God has made us to be. The culture that we live in screams out to us everywhere we go that we're not enough, that we're not good enough, that we don't have what it takes, we're not wealthy enough, we don't have enough things, we're not beautiful enough. Everywhere we go, we are told that we're just not enough. But the beauty of the Word of God is that it tells us a different story. It tells us a story about a God who created us to be like Him, to be a reflection of who He is to the rest of His creation. And though we rebelled and we fell and we ran, God has been relentlessly pursuing us, chasing after us throughout time, culminating in the life of Jesus and in the death of Jesus on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus, defeating death, defeating sin, and giving us eternal life that begins here and now. See, I didn't say all that just because I know it, because I learn some secret somewhere. That is all that beautiful stuff is contained in this gift that God has given us, his word. And to sustain a life of mission, we need the truth that's contained in these pages. Because the world is telling us this completely different story. Yet there's a better story. Thankfully, that story is true. David wrote about the Word of God. It was something that he was kind of had an obsession with. Just this thing that to him was incredibly valuable. incredibly worthwhile. He writes about God's word in a few of the Psalms, and I'm just going to read these to you. And I just want you to take some time to consider just the beauty of the word of God. And I don't know where you're kind of at on your journey with God. Maybe this is like really foreign to you. It's okay. You're in the right place. This is a place where you can come and be, and you don't have to know all of this stuff. But man, what a beautiful thing it is. And so tonight, I just want you to maybe key in and listen on to the beautiful words that David writes. And just consider the incredible nature of the word of God. David writes in Psalm chapter 19, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Reviving the soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." It's good news for me. Really good news for me. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and altogether righteous. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of a honeycomb." Verse 14, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." David says in Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations." That's us. God's faithfulness endures to us. "You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand to this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for they have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, God's word is, it's incredibly beautiful to us, because it demonstrates to us who God is and who we are and what he has done for us. Ephesians chapter 1, this guy named Paul wrote this letter to a church, one of the early churches we've been talking about tonight. And these words, I just really want for us to just grab a hold of these words. Man, they're so incredibly beautiful and refreshing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says this. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Wow. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to be adopted. He predestined us to be adopted. Though we, by our own choices and our own decisions, were orphans, God chose, even before he created the world, that even though we would run from him, that he would adopt us. Man. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. You guys, this tells us the truth about who our incredible God is and what amazing things he has done for us. Tonight, I want to just challenge you, give you an opportunity to open up this book. Maybe you have a favorite passage of scripture that you just want to go back to. Do it. I read from Psalm 119. You can find Psalm 119 on page 329 of the blue and white Bibles that are kind of around. It's a great place to just go and hear David continue to just go on and on and on about how incredibly beautiful God's word is. Listen, God's word is fuel for the fire of mission. We need it in our lives. It's good for us. So good for us. It's sweet to the taste, like honey from the comb. So tonight, we're going to give you guys a chance just to take a few minutes. Josh is going to continue to just play, and then we're going to sing a worship song that's going to remind us that as we jump into God's word, it leads us to this beautiful place, to the foot of the cross, to this place that we know that Jesus brings each one of us, demonstrating his love to us in incredible and mighty ways. So grab a Bible, grab one if you didn't bring one of your own, grab one of ours. If you don't have a Bible, we want you to take one of ours, put your name in it, take it home. Maybe you're not super familiar with the Bible. We would just want to invite you, and we'll talk about this here in a few minutes, to ask someone here to journey with you into the incredible beauty that is found within the pages of God's word. So for the next few minutes, we're just going to take some time to read God's word, just between us and God. And then we'll worship together. What an incredible opportunity we have. Let's jump into God's word together.
cross where grace and suffering meet. You have shown me your love through the judgment you received, and you've won my heart. You've won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every at the foot of the cross, where I am made complete. You have given me life through the death you bore for me, and you won my heart. Yes, you won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. I trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross.
Won our hearts, God.
And you've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts.
You guys sing that with us. You've won our hearts.
Yes, you've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts. Oh, Lord, you've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. I lay foot of the cross.
the next few minutes, we're going to take some time together and experience the third piece and part of the monastic life that fuels the fire of mission. And that's the community of God. And we're not meant to live this mission that Jesus has handed us to reach the world with the good news that he loves them. We're not meant to live this out alone. God calls us to do this together. We need each other. We need each other. We need the Jesus inside each other. We need encouragement from one another. We need strengthening from one another. We need prayer from one another. So we're going to take a few minutes together and we're just going to pray for each other. It's not going to get all weird. We're not going to have to face each other and hold hands or anything like that. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a few minutes and first we're going to pray for the person on our right. Now, you on the end are struggling. I know. It's cool. We've thought of you. So maybe just pray for the person in front of you or behind you. Or, you know, case study, you can pray for me. That's cool. And then we're going to switch. We're going to pray for the person on our left in a few minutes, but not yet. We're going to start on the right. And then you guys do the same. You can pray for me. That'd be great. Or for the worship team. But you guys can pray for each other too. I mean, this is just it's an open-ended prayer fest, really. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So check this out. For the person on your right, we're going to pray a few specific things. Just that they would delight in the Spirit of God. That they would engage in the Word of God. And that they would embrace the community of God. So we're just going to pray over the person on our right that they would just really engage in the monastic life. We've got a few options up here, you know, kind of keep you on task. And we're going to give it a few minutes so you can just pray. This is between you and God for the person on your right. And this is a taste of what the community is all about. Knowing that there's someone that's actually talking to God about your life. Wow, how cool is that? So we're going to do that tonight together. So let's take a few minutes. We're going to pray for the person on the right. There are some things that you can pray. It's not a list that you have to check off, but just some options. Just take time, you and God, and pray for the person on your right. It'll be good. As we kind of wrap up our time praying for the person on our right, we're going to pray for the person on our left now, and we're just going to ask that God would help them to walk in the light. You know, the thing about difficulty and struggle, things that make this life hard. A lot of times, especially in our culture, we really just kind of keep that to ourselves. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Fine. Great. But maybe we're dying inside. So we're going to pray for the person on the left that, God would just allow them to walk in the light. So this is a community that we just want to be authentic with each other. There's no reason to have pretense, to act like we've got it all together. Look, I don't have it all together. I can promise you that this week I have struggled with my own selfishness. And I need someone to step into my life and to pray for me. We all need that. We all need that. We're going to pray and ask that God would just lead us by His Spirit. That we would be people who live lives of freedom, not bound to the chains of selfishness and sin. We would be people who just are passionate for God. One of our core values at Mosaic is that we would demonstrate our passion for God. And that as our lives reflect the gospel, that we would demonstrate His passion for people. That's what this is all about. So we're going to take some time. We're going to pray for the person on our left. Some of these types of things. Just that they would be able to live in freedom and walk in the light and walk out this incredible mission that God has given all of us. So let's pray. Let's take a minute and pray for the person on our left. God, we just come before you tonight together, and we thank you so much for who you are. God, that you are so incredibly good, and that you love us so deeply, and that you have, yes, given us this incredible mission that if we were to try to do it on our own, we would most assuredly fail. But God, you've given us this mission, this privilege to be able to work in partnership with you, to see this world changed for the better as people encounter you, God, their creator. As people know that Jesus came and lived and died and resurrected for them, for us. And God, we thank you that you've given us so much in order to be able to sustain this life of mission that you've called us to. God, thank you for the monastic life. I pray that we would be a people, a community that would live in connection with you, in deep fellowship with you. That we would love your word. God, that the Bible would not be a list of do's and don'ts for us, but it would be a life source for us, a place where we could get to know you better and know who we are and know what it is you've called us to do. And God, that this community would just become a great place of refreshment for us, that we would be known at Mosaic at Walt Disney World for our love for you, God, and for one another. that this would be a community that shines as a light in the darkness to anyone who would look into it. Not that we would be perfect, but God, that we would be chasing after you together. Help us to live this monastic life, God, but with our walls down, where people can see in. God, that we would not seclude ourselves and be a people that focuses only on ourselves, but God, that we would focus in on the world. But God, we know that in order to make that journey, God, we need fuel. We need fuel. We can't push the car all the way, God. We need fuel. So God, help us to continue to be a people that would engage with you, that would walk with you, that would love your word and love one another, that the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the community of God would be tangibly experienced by all of us, and that we would reach into the city of Orlando, that we would reach into Walt Disney World, that we would reach into the lives of people who come from all over planet Earth to experience this city that you've placed us in, God. God, that the very nations of the earth would be blessed by this community. We who know you as our Savior. We just declare tonight that we need you. We need you, God. As we continue and worship you, God, I just pray that you would just help us to want you, to taste and see that you are good, to delight in you, to be satisfied by you, and to long for even more. We choose tonight to no longer feed ourselves with the mud pies, because God, you have so certainly prepared a banquet table for us. Tonight we taste and see that you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you guys stand? We're going to kind of close this time out together just in a song of declaration. That because God has been so good to us, so good to us, that we are going to engage with him in his mission to bring his light and his love to the entire world, starting right here in Orlando, Florida. That we're going to engage with him through the Spirit, through his word, through the community, through the monastic life, so that we can live out the missional life and get to the exact destination that God is calling this community to go. Let's worship God together.
Just declare this tonight. And nothing's gonna hold me back. No, nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Spit out nothing. And nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Chosen, I am free, now I am living for eternity. Free now, forever. You pick me up, turn me around. You set my feet on solid ground. Yours now, forever. Oh yeah. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. life to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Everything. You washed my sin and shame away. Your slate is clean, a brand new day. Free now forever. Now boldly I approach your throne to claim this ground, Christ my own. Yours now forever. And nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Yeah. My chains fell off, my heart was free. And I'm alive to live for you. And I'm alive to live for you, Lord. Amazing love, how can it be? Free to live, free to give, I'm free to be, I'm free to love you, free to live, and free to give, I'm free to be, I'm free to love you, Lord. Yeah. My chains fell off, my heart was free, and I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. Together for the Lord. Thank you, God. We love you. Woo.